Well, good evening. Thank you so much for tuning in to this recorded message from the book of Nehemiah. Welcome to Wednesday evening church and prayer time. I encourage you to take your Bible with me tonight and turn to the book of Nehemiah chapter number 11. Nehemiah chapter number 11 is where we are when we continue. I'm recording this, obviously, before I leave. By the time you hear this message, I will be, Lord willing, at the new church that I'm going to, missing you, excited about what God's going to do, and definitely be in prayer for you. I'm so thankful for the time we've had together. I'm so thankful and honored to be able to be called your pastor. We have done amazing things, and I'm excited about what God has done, and I'm excited about what God's going to do. The end of the thing is better than the beginning. I believe that for this church, as you as a church come together with one voice and with one heart in a desire to honor Almighty God, I'm sure as you move forward, there's going to be hiccups along the way. There always are. But I pray that as you work together and love one another and in continuing to prefer one another, that God will bring the right man here who will lead this church, a man that I believe you guys will be able to follow his leadership as he follows the Lord. So here in Nehemiah chapter 11, I'm going to try to finish up this book for you before I head out. And so here we are, and let's get right to it. Nehemiah chapter number 11, look at verse 1. And the rulers of the people dwelt at Jerusalem. The rest of the people also cast lots to bring one of the 10 to dwell in Jerusalem, the holy city, and 9 parts to dwell in other cities. And the people blessed all the men that willingly offered themselves to dwell at Jerusalem. Now these are the chief of the province that dwelt in Jerusalem, but in the cities of Judah dwelt everyone in his possession in their city, to wit, Israel, the priests, and the Levites, the Nethinims, and the children of Solomon's servants. Let's end there and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord to bless our time together. Our gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, I am so thankful, Lord, to be able to continue to preach these messages. Lord, I'm thankful to be able to finish up this book of Nehemiah. We've had a wonderful time learning. Lord, it's been very challenging. It's been very convicting. It's helped, Lord, as we as a church have gone through a building process, as we have remodeled and restored some things that needed attention. Lord, I'm thankful for that. And Lord, I pray in our life that we will continue to be in that process, where you are working on us and making us what we ought to be, Lord, and we'll thank you for that. I pray you'll bless the reading of your word. And now as we get to chapter number 11 and maybe chapter 12 tonight, I pray you bless the preaching of your word. It's in your name I ask these things. Amen. Well, the project, if you remember, to rebuild the walls is all over. In 52 days, the people, I had a mind to work, and there were some hurdles along the way, and there were some who wanted to distract from what God was doing and the way God was moving and the way God was blessing. But Nehemiah persevered. He followed the Lord, and he encouraged the people, and he called them on the rug where needed be, and encouraged them to do what God had commanded them to do what it was they were there to do, and that was to build the wall. In 52 days, God accomplished the miraculous. The wall are now built. The gates have been restored. The service and the sacrifice, however, if you remember, of the people is not. Nehemiah calls on the people to present sacrifices to God, and we see that as we go through here. There's a number of things that I just want to touch on tonight. We could spend an awful lot of time going through these next couple chapters. Allow me just to kind of skim through them a little bit. I want to conclude this study, but I don't want to get bogged down too much in them. Give you some things to think about, some things to study on your own over the next several weeks until the Lord provides a pastor for you. Here in Nehemiah chapter number 11, verses 1, all the way through the end of chapter number 12, the first thing that we see that Nehemiah challenges the people to and challenges the people with is the fact that they must, just as you and I must, give ourselves to God. When the children of Israel were released from captivity, they were allowed to return to Jerusalem to repair the breach, to restore the glory of God's city. Many of them chose not to resettle inside of Jerusalem. They lived outside of where the walls were built. The city was large. But the city, unfortunately, lay in waste, and there was poor defense around the city. The defenses were destroyed. The homes that were there were destroyed. There would be a high cost, if you would, for anyone to move to Jerusalem, because now Jerusalem, when they were rebuilding, and you saw that as we went through that, Jerusalem became a target for its enemies. Jerusalem became a target for those who wanted to oppose what God was doing. They would much rather the city of God lay in waste because they know the power of God. And they didn't want that restored. Why? Because they were sinners and they knew it. And so they rebelled against that. And so when people came back to Jerusalem, many didn't want to live in the city because of poor defense. Many didn't want to live in the city because the costs would be high and they would become a target for danger. And another reason, I believe, is that anything holy was viewed as a threat to unholy nations and would be the target of malice and threats from enemies. We saw that, did we not? Sanballat, Tobiah, they came and they became the threatening voice of the nations around them, and they tried to intimidate the people into stopping. Remember also, for the children of Israel, farming was the primary occupation. So for them to move to Jerusalem meant giving up their principal way of living so they could serve in the city. There was a change that had to take place. There was a change in lifestyle that had to take place. And as we'll talk about, or as we talked about on Sunday, our last Sunday, change is not easy. Change is hard. They had to trust those who remained in the villages outside of Jerusalem to provide for them and to provide for their family while they worked in the city doing something different. Moving to Jerusalem meant a change in environment, meant a change in neighbors, meant a change in friends, meant a change in lifestyle. And that's hard to do. It's hard to do, to go through all of those changes. And that's what was required of them if they were going to be obedient to what God wanted for them. Their loyalty to the purpose of maintaining the community, however, made them willing to do it. Their loyalty to God and His leading and His directing, regardless of what it means to give up, they were willing to do it. You and I must give ourselves to God completely. Not just when it feels good, not just when we agree, not just when it's easy to do and everyone's behind it. We must give ourselves to God completely and wholly. And if it means a change in environment, if it means a change in neighbors, if it means a change in friends or lifestyle, if it means a change in job or location, you know what? We don't have a choice if we're going to be loyal to God. Many people don't want and resist change. And I'll tell you what, we serve a God who's all about it. We serve a God who wants us to change, to continue to grow in grace and knowledge of who He is. He wants us to change. My question to you is, are you the same as you were, or have you changed? If you and I are not interested in being holy, you're not going to pick a holy city to live in. If you and I are not really interested in serving God and doing what God wants, we're not going to spend a whole lot of time in prayer asking Him. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time in His Word seeking His face. We're not going to tune in a whole lot to the messages that are being preached because, you know what, this whole idea of holiness is a little too much for me. It cramps my style. It infringes on my personal freedom and my own personal comfort. By calling this city a holy city, there is an expectation on the residents of the city to also be holy. Can I tell you this? God still calls his people to be holy. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse 14 down through verse 21. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of person judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but who was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. As obedient children, it starts out, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your, and it uses the word ignorance. What is that word talking about? Ignorance here means a lack of information that may result in irrehensible conduct. Ignorance, a lack of information that results in wrong conduct. There's a lot of people out there who, and it talks about it in here, the tradition of men, that the Pharisees were all about this. The Pharisees were ignorant. They were ignorant of the teaching and the doctrine of Jesus Christ, because they'd rather hang on to a truth that's outdated than to hang on to the truth that was given by the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There was an ignorance. They were corruptible. They weren't redeemed by corruptible things, it says in there. It means to be of no use and idle and empty and fruitless and useless, powerless, lacking truth. There were some children of Israel who wanted to live in Jerusalem. Can I tell you this and remind you of this? Never underestimate the importance of simply being physically present in the place where God wants you. Your presence sometimes is what God requires. To be in the presence of the place where God wants you. You may not be asked to perform some dramatic ministry. Just being there. Being there. You realize that God has given you gifts and talents for the purpose of the church. And when you decide not to come, when you choose not to be here, you rob the other members of your presence. You rob the other members of being the blessing that God wants you to be to them. When you and I are not in the place where God wants us, we rob others of the blessing God wants to use us to do and to be. They served in Jerusalem, and their service was important. Those on the outside were important to provide for those in the city. But I'm here to tell you, those in the city were just as important as those on the outside. Those in the city had to defend that city. And when an attack would come, remember, it may have been easier to be farmers because that's what they were familiar with. But where would those farmers run when the attack would come? They'd run inside the safety of a city. But if there's nobody there to defend that city when the time came, guess what? They were all in trouble, weren't they? They were there in the city and they served God there in the temple. That's important. Yeah, it may be more comfortable out on the countryside farming. But if the people were going to worship, they needed somebody in the city serving in the temple. Not everybody's called to be a pastor. Not everybody's called to be a Sunday school teacher. Not everybody's called to stand up in front, but somebody needs to. Somebody needs to. God calls some of us to do it. God has required that of different people in the church. You can read about that. When you look about the call of the pastor, he must be apt to teach. The same thing of a deacon. He must be apt to teach. Those in spiritual positions ought to be able to stand here and teach and preach. It's part of their responsibilities. And there were some who much rather, I'll be honest, I'd much rather be painting a wall than preaching a sermon. I'd much rather be rubbing shoulders with people and interacting with them. Because to me, that's a lot of pastoring. That's a lot of pastoring. That's what a pastor does. If he's going to be effective on a Sunday, he better be with his people all throughout the week. Why? Because he needs to know the needs of his sheep. But if he's not with his people, if he sits somewhere high and lofty up, he's never going to meet their needs. And so there are people, yes, they had a farm to provide for inside the city, but there are people that God calls that need to serve in the temple of God. Can I tell you this, and let me encourage you with this? There's no greater occupation that you could get into than that of being a pastor or missionary or evangelist. That doesn't mean the other occupations are bad or worse or of lower degree. But I'll tell you what, to be the one there, it may cost you, but I'll tell you what, the rewards, and I've found this in the 20 plus years I've been a pastor, the rewards far outweigh any cost, any perceived slight. There are others that had to supervise the maintenance of the buildings. There were those that ministered with prayer and praise. And by the way, chapter 11, verse 16, chapter 11, verse 17, chapter 11, verse 22. There are those that had to guard the temple, chapter 11, verse 19. On and on goes. There's a whole list of things that these people had to do. And they had to be willing to be used of God. Let me ask you tonight, are you willing to give yourselves completely and totally to God? Are you willing to say, God, I'll go anywhere, do anything that you want me to, only make sure that you go with me. I only go if you're there. God, don't bless my plans. God, help me do your plans. And there's a big difference there. I've always determined in my heart that I'm going with God. I don't care where anybody else goes because he's the one I answer to. I'm going to go with him. I'm going to do what he wants me to do, regardless of the cost. And I'll tell you what, I'd rather stand with God than anywhere else. I'm thankful for that. We must give ourselves to God. And you see that all throughout chapter 11, verse 1, all the way through 12, 26. Once you get to verse 27, not only must we give ourselves to God, but I think this next one is great. And I think I'm just going to do all of this in one message. And so if it's long, my apologies. I'll try not to get too lengthy in this message. We'll do this message and then you'll have one for chapter 13 next week. Number 2, chapter 12, verse 27 through 42. I'm not going to take time to read through all of this, these two chapters. Encourage you to pause, look at it, read it, and go back and make sure what I'm saying is from the Word of God. Be a Berean. Search the Scriptures daily to see if these things be so. But here is chapter 12, verse 27. We must not only give ourselves to God completely and totally. You know what God wants? He wants you in the offering plate. Before you put a dime in that offering plate, you better get in there first. God wants all of you. Wholly, completely, totally. But number 2, we must give God our praise. You see that starting in verse number 27 all the way down through verse number 42. It was time to dedicate the work that the people had done. They had worked hard. God had blessed. They stood with God and God worked and God did the miraculous. They were able to restore the walls in 52 days. And you remember the two choirs from last time. Two choirs depart from their different location. One would lament over their failings, and the other would rejoice over God's goodness. Back and forth and back and forth. Now here, starting here in verse 27 and going on down, specifically verse 40, look down there. The two choirs depart from different locations, and they meet here in verse 40. So stood the two companies of them that gave thanks in the house of God, and I and the half of the rulers with me. So these two that were standing on opposite sides, these choirs, who were one would sing one verse and one would sing the other, they now come together and join him and half of the rulers with him. Why? To praise God. To praise God. We need to cultivate a spirit of generosity in our lives. God has wired into us that we should give and give sacrificially. There is a joy that will impact us. It's a joy that only comes when we give sacrificially. Listen, when you and I determine that we're going to give God all that we are and all that we have and all that we ever hope to be, when you and I determine to give ourselves completely to God, I'm here to tell you that there is a great joy that this world doesn't know. It's a joy that only comes when we give ourselves and give ourselves sacrificially. Every once in a while, you get to see up close the fruit of your giving. The people were getting an opportunity to see and to touch the freshly built walls surrounding Jerusalem. The people were saying to the rest of the world that God built these walls. He did this work, and he alone should be glorified. By marching on the walls, the people had an opportunity to see the results of their labor and realize one more time the work was performed by a team of people and not just one person. Nobody owned the part he or she worked on. The wall belonged to God. And we're stewards of what he has entrusted to us. Tell you what, every time I walk through those doors of the sanctuary, and I'm going to miss that. As I look at the beams above me, I think of Mr. Russ way up there. I see Mr. Frank on the lift up there painting the wall way at the top. I see Paul and Karen and Robbie and Keith, and I see Mike and Sarah Jonas, and man, I had some great times working with people. Adam and Kristen were in here working. Man, it was great to see what God has done. Every time I walk through those doors, and can I say it's about coming together and working for God and seeing God do some very miraculous things. The fact that you're listening to this right now is a result of our being willing to follow God. And we experience the joy of that now because you get to listen to this online, where had we not and stayed the same, we'd never be able to do this. The important thing was the expression of joyful praise that came from the choirs and the people. I'm here to say, praise the Lord for what God has done. They offered praise in three different ways. They were thankful, they were joyful, and they did so loudly. The joy, I love verse 43, of Jerusalem was heard far away. Bible Baptist Church, my prayer for you is that the joy of the Lord will be heard far away. As you rejoice in what it is that God has done, as you rejoice in what it is that God is doing, and as you look forward with great joy and anticipation over what God will do, may the joy of the Lord be heard far away. May we praise God thankfully for working, for choosing to use us. May we thank Him and praise Him joyfully. Tell you what, there's nothing like serving God. And may we do so loudly. In Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 32 through 39, the people covenanted with God that they would support the temple ministry. And here we see in chapter 12 that they, up to this point, kept their promise. The tithes and offerings represent the support of the temple workers so that they could serve the Lord. Ministers at the temple were exemplary, both in their personal purity and their obedience to the Word of God. The people gave not grudgingly or in a necessity, but joyfully and gratefully. Our material gifts are really spiritual sacrifices to the Lord if they're given in the right spirit. But before we can bring our material gifts to the Lord, we must first give ourselves to Him. Can I ask you tonight to answer this question? Have I honestly given myself completely to God? You need to evaluate your life honestly and ask, is the Lord over every area of my life? Where do you go for comfort? Where do you go for direction? I ask you, what are you proudest of? What are you anxious about? What bothers you most? What, if I lost it, would cause me to lose hope? Listen, you can't just change your affections. You have to exchange them. Jesus has to seem to you more reliable, more beautiful, more desirable than any idol that is out there. I'm here to tell you tonight, until you're willing to give yourselves fully and completely to Him, until your willingness to make that complete and total sacrifice, until you're willing to surrender all and follow Him, you're always going to have an idol, because there's always something that you're going to want to hang on to. There's always something that's going to hold you back. Can I encourage you to seek, knock, taste, and see that the Lord, He is good. And there's nothing, not a marriage, not children, not a job, not your health, not money, nothing that can compare to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You can't just change your affections. You have to exchange them. Jesus has to seem to you more reliable, more beautiful, more desirable than your idol. You see, repentance is fueled by being certain you are loved and accepted by Christ. Do you sing enough? How much singing to God have we done today, did yesterday? Shall we plan to do tomorrow? When we were in Israel, Angie and I, we got to walk down underneath the city. They have these tunnels that built down. Because you remember, when the temple was destroyed, there was something else built on top of it, and destroyed and built on top of it. And so the city has raised in height over the years. Every time it's destroyed, something is built up back on top of it. So they tunneled down to where the city of Jerusalem would have been, where the temple would have been, back down to that level. And they have these tunnels underground because of the Muslims and their quote-unquote holy site that's there. They're not allowed where the temple would be, because they built that right on top, as is the case with all Muslims. They always build their temples on top of other religious sites. And so right now, Jerusalem, the Jews can't go there. They can't go underneath it, but you can go down. And I remember walking down in those tunnels with my wife, and one of the most moving, unbelievable, you can't explain it moments that I had. I had a couple of them. One was being on the Sea of Galilee, sailing. Man, that was incredible. But walking down in those tunnels, I remember my wife, we were just telling somebody about it. She's like, all of a sudden, I just started to sing. We wanted to sing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." started to sing, and the hair on my hand started standing up on end. Want to know why? We found out later why. They have determined, and I would agree with them, that the place that we were when all of that happened in me, and listen, I'm not one of those weird, anyway, was the place closest to the Holy of Holies that you can get. You see, as we get close to the Holy of Holies, the very presence of God makes you want to shout and sing. It makes you want to give yourself completely and then give your praise to God so that you can come. And you see in verse 44, 45, 46, and 47, you can come and give your gift to God. The gift of praise, the gift of worship, the gift of returning to Him what is already His. You let go and you worship. Do you sing enough? I found it's a good test for me to tell me where I am spiritually. Oh, gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, I thank you for our time together. Lord, I know this is a little longer than normal. And Lord, not nearly as long as it could have been or should have been or I wanted it to be. But at the same time, Lord, I know it's what you would have me say. And so, Lord, I pray the blessing on the preaching of your word. And Lord, I pray that we would all give ourselves completely and totally to you. Lord, I pray that we give our praise to you so that we can come and give our gifts to you. And we'll thank you for it. Lord, help us to change our affections. Help us to change our affections. Help us to exchange them so that you seem to us more reliable and beautiful, desirable than anything and everything. It's in your name we ask these things. Amen.